Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The Barnardo's Mother of the Year is the largest, most recognised of the national awards celebrating motherhood. The awards publicly acknowledge the enormous contribution that our mums and our wives make in shaping Australia's future through our children of today. Like Samantha Jackal from Victoria, who's the mother of five teenage kids between 14 and 18, and also mum to Beverly, who's 35. Beverly nominated Sam to be the winner of the Victorian Barnardo's Mother of the Year, and then on to Sydney for the grand final. Sam, thank you for joining us. Tell us about Beverly.
Yeah, look, 16 years ago we actually took Beverly in. She was a 19-year-old who was running away. She was hitting the streets, actually, and she accidentally rang us by mistake. And we end up chatting with her and realizing that she was out at a service station. So we went and picked her up, and she's lived with us since then.
One of the world's greatest accidental phone calls ever.
Yeah, look, it was, well, for Bev, you know, I think it was just a lifesaver for her. So it was a real privilege to be able to walk with her over the last 16 years.
Samantha, your relationship with Beverly is made all the more remarkable after I read about your relationship with your own mother and how your understanding of what a mother should be was so completely corrupted because of her behaviour toward you.
It's actually quite ironic that I was named Victorian Mother of the Year when I actually wasn't mothered by my natural mother. In actual fact, I was abused by her. So it was, it's astounding.
Your mother was an alcoholic all the way through your childhood?
Yes, she was. She actually died of alcohol-induced dementia. And she was a heavy drinker, and she was also a manipulator and liar. And she also sexually abused me, which you don't often hear about mothers sexually abusing their children. No. But in my case, it was my mother.
So I can only imagine the anger that had been trapped inside you, particularly when you got a phone call from your dad saying, your mother's in hospital and we need for you to help us with her care.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I thought that I had dealt with my past and forgiven her, and I just had was married and I was about to give birth to my first child when my mother was actually, when I got a call, and it was a funny situation. But to tell you the truth, it was a life-saving situation for me because it enabled me to work through a depth of forgiveness that I didn't even realize I needed to do. And so I was able to walk through a real amazing journey with my mum at that time and deal with stuff within myself that needed to be dealt with.
Your mum moved into a nursing home actually just around the corner from where you and your husband and now your new bub lived.
Yeah, that's right. And we looked after her. So until a time, and then of course she passed away. But it gave me an incredible time to be able to, work through stuff and look after her. And at the end, you know, it was a real healing time.
Samantha, share with us the story, the moment that you shared your God with your mum.
Yeah, look, it was a really powerful moment in my life, and that was that I was sitting beside her bed one night and I actually felt this ping in my heart. I'll tell your mum about your relationship with me and ask her if she wants to accept Jesus as her saviour. And I remember at that time just feeling this anger in my heart and thinking to myself, there is no way I'm going to give this woman that opportunity. You know, she deserves to burn in hell.
Yeah.
And so I kind of left, and it just kept going over and over in my heart. You know, your mum needs to know about Christ. And I fought with it for a few weeks. I went back to her and I was just sitting beside her bed, and there was just this change in my heart. And I knew then at that point I had actually really dealt with the unforgiveness, and I had actually forgiven her. And so I grabbed my mum's hand and I just sat there and I said, Mum, you know I'm a Christian, you know I love Jesus, and I just want to ask you if you would like to know Jesus too. And if you say yes, then I can guarantee you'll be in eternity forever. You know, this is something that, you know, that God promises. And she said, yes, I want to know Jesus. And so I had the incredible privilege to be able to lead her through the sinner's prayer, and she accepted Christ. And it was soon after that her dementia really clicked in and we couldn't communicate to her on that same level. And so what an incredible privilege it was for me not only to lead my mum in that prayer, but to consider that we'll both be in heaven and we'll be reconciled. And I think that's beautiful. I just think that's incredible that we'll both be dancing around the throne room together.
Sam, what an awesome testimony. Can I ask, given that your understanding of the role of motherhood had been so corrupted in your early years by your own mum, where you started to form your perceptions of what a mum should be and then act those out in your own relationships?
Yeah, look, I think the minute that I decided that I wanted to have a family on my husband and I just watched everyone. It was almost like I need to be trained on how to be a mum. I didn't know what was appropriate and what wasn't. And I was really scared, actually, of the role. And yeah. So I watched people like Hawks ask lots of questions, read lots of books, and also sought out counselling and got some questions answered through that. And look, and along the way, my children are now teenagers, and along the way, especially in the early years, you know, I would have to go and ask people questions, and there was another layer of healing that had to come. You know, I think sometimes when you've been abused, if that's sexually, emotionally, or physically, there's layers of healing that have to take place. So there were times where, you know, things that I would react to, and I'd have to go and seek help again and ask people questions, whether it was normal or not normal. And it's been a process.
You've gone ahead and done so much with your life, both as a mother and as a leader in your community. And you kicked off a charity with your husband called Go the Extra Mile.
Yeah, yep. So 7 years ago, we had a real heart to help young people, not just overseas, but here in Australia as well. And so we realised that we didn't have an income that could cover, you know, the amount we wanted to do. So we actually started a walk, a 50-kilometre endurance walk, and we have supported different charities through the years. So some here in Australia, that we did one a few years ago on the prevention of teenage suicide with Focus on the Family. And this year we've been supporting orphans in Uganda. So we just had our walk actually on Saturday, and we've raised around $62,500 as is. So we'll probably reach about $100,000 by the time the donations stop coming in. So yeah, so that came out of a passion of trying, really wanting to impact other people's lives.
Samantha, it's been an unmitigated pleasure to have this conversation with you. Congratulations on being nominated Barnardo's Mother of the Year in Victoria. Is your husband heading to Sydney to join you for the big announcement on Friday?
Well, actually, no, he's not.
Really?
My nominator is. Beverly and I head up there, but Peter's actually involved in volunteering for another organisation and another event on Saturday morning, and he has to be here for that. So, so we'll make a lot of phone calls to each other.
Well, Samantha, I know that you're going to have a fantastic time when you catch up with the other mothers from each of the other states and territories. Yeah. I've spoken with each of them now, and they are each remarkable ladies. Have a terrific time of celebration, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure speaking with you.
Samantha Jackall, the Victorian Barnardo's Mother of the Year winner. What a powerful story of forgiveness through faith that is. Let's head to the Northern Territory, where Isabel nominated her friend Joy White as Mother of the Year. Joy's story is a lesson in undiluted generosity. Growing up in a remote Northern Territory Aboriginal community, Joy was promised a marriage at a very young age and was given to her husband as a teenager. When her father died quite early in her marriage, Joy grabbed her husband and returned home to support mum. Joy, it's an honour to speak with you. You've given your life to supporting hundreds, if not thousands of disadvantaged kids in your community, as well as having a large family of your own.
Yes, I did.
How many kids?
I had 7, and one died from meningitis, and I just lost track of everything then because I just couldn't cope, you know.
So in the time for those kids to grow up to be in their late 20s, you've also looked after, I'm looking at this, is this right, 100 children?
Yes, too many, because we, I think the council or the people in charge at that time gave me a house where I can look after the children with toilets, showers, you know, like that. Oh, look, I just couldn't let them walk around early in the morning and, you know, just looking for food, and I just couldn't stand it.
They came in, they had a shower, you fed them, and you also made them clothes, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Of course, their parents couldn't even afford to buy them clothes. And I just got a soft heart, really. So I started making clothes, you know, like shorts, trousers, you know, not really trousers, but with elastic.
Yeah.
On a sewing machine. And then the boys, I had to make singlets and all that stuff, you know.
Are you still doing it today, Joy?
Well, I still do it as a hobby for myself now. Because most of those children have passed away, and it's just sad talking about it, you know?
Yeah, I can hear it. What do you love about being a mum? What's the best bit about it?
It's the children, you know. They're the ones that fills their life. It fills their everyday life. If you don't have children, I don't understand about people who don't want children. same.
So on Mother's Day, what happens at your place on Mother's Day? Is it a big get-together or do you keep it nice and quiet?
I just wanted to be quiet because I think they'll be rowdy, all the kids.
You've had enough noise.
Yes, and I love my mum, Isabel, and she's right here with me.
Mum's there with you now.
Yes.
What did you learn about being a mum from your mum?
Everything that needs to be taught, like feeding them, not to be greedy, and not to, you know, everything about life, you know, the wants, the not things, you know, the no good stuff and everything like that, you know, she used to tell me and my dad before he died, said to me to be careful and just watch before you decide. But I couldn't decide about those children. I just took them in. No, I just couldn't let them be like that because now they're walking the street all hours of the night without food, looking for food, have a drink of water, and that's it.
So what did you do? Did you just leave your house and bring them into your place, or did you wait for them to come to you?
No, I went out and I grabbed them all because I just couldn't stand it, you know, looking at them starving, asking for food, you know, from house to... That's not good, you know, to my side. You see, I don't like talking about them children. Yeah, because, you know, I just had to, and I said to the husband, look, I got to take these kids, I can't. And he's there grumbling and growling and said, no, we have enough children. You look after our children. Yes, but these children are needy. Their parents are drunks, alcoholics. Please let me do it. I said, I just have to do it.
How did you afford to do this for so long, Joy?
Oh, look, you know, I don't know. I think God helped me a bit because some people don't believe in miracles, but I do believe in miracles because he has provided the food for me to feed those children. Oh, sorry, sir.
Don't be sorry.
No, I'm just sad because I wish they were here to actually tell you what I've done for them.
Well, I suspect you've done a whole lot more than you're ever going to be able to share with us because you sound like a pretty modest, quiet kind of gal.
I am a quiet girl. When people start stirring me up, I'm just a different sort of a person. But I just try to be calm and just stay calm and just walk away. And people don't understand why I'm walking away, you know.
Have you ever been to Sydney?
No, never. Not the town. I just saw the picture of the bridge.
So, aside from coming down to meet some other mums, what else are you looking forward to doing?
Well, just to share with all of them, you know, all their problems with all the children, you know. I'd like to know more about them, you know, to get to know them as friends, you know. That's all I want to do is to ask them how they really feel about lost children, you know. Really lost children. What would they have done like that, you know. But I don't know, I'm a bit shy to myself.
You have been one of the highlights of my day. Thanks very much for joining me on the telephone.
Thank you. Well, that's my name, Joy. And can I get you to speak to Isabel? She's here with me. She wants to say something to you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, put her on.
Okay. I just wanted to say that far and wide, Joy's reputation is that of a
an exceptional person. I was in another Aboriginal community last night visiting a sick young lady, and she and the president, the Aboriginal president of that community, said he was so happy for Joy to become the Northern Territory Mother of the Year because everyone knew the good work she'd done and how many children she had taken in like no other person. So I just wanted to add that.
Isabella, how long had you been thinking about nominating Joy for? It sounds like you've given this a lot of thought. She's an obvious starter for an award like this.
You know, I didn't. I always wanted to have Joy acknowledged, and I wasn't sure how to go about it. And then a young friend said, oh, you should nominate her as the Bernardo's Mother of the Year. And I read about it on the internet, and I thought, that's just the thing I want to nominate Joy for. And we were so amazed to hear that there were apparently 5,000 entrants. And so it's just a fantastic honour that I'm so grateful to Bernardo's that Joy was selected for that honour, and for all the support and joy that it's brought to Joy since. And, you know, there are kids who've grown up in this community, and I've just approached them and said, can you just tell me what Nana Joy has done for you? And so I've gathered information that way, and one of them said, big boy who's now a footballer, he said, she made clothes for all of us. And I said, what do you mean by all of us? She said, for every kid in the community. She did. She sewed for all of us. And I remember Joy making beautiful skirts. She just made dozens overnight for everyone so that people would, all the ladies and little girls would look good singing at a funeral for a respected person here in Bagot community. So Joy, I can't say enough for her. She has been full of wisdom over these more than 12 years that I have known her. And we are the greatest of friends. We're both born in 1948. So we just understood each other, being from the same era. And so it's been a happy friendship, and we're going to have lots of fun together heading off to Sydney.
Isabel, it sounds like yours is a rare friendship indeed, and it sounds like Joy is a one in a million mum. So thanks very much for nominating her in this award.
Oh, that's been a very great pleasure.
What a pair those two must make, striding around town in the NT. Isabel, who nominated her friend Joy White to become the Bernardo's Mother of the Year this year. The New South Wales nominee was Gloria Nascimento. Gloria's daughter, Cassie, was diagnosed with a rare brain cancer when Cassie was just 16 that saw Gloria give up her own life to be at her daughter's bedside during Cassie's treatment. At one point, Gloria found the money to seek treatment in the US and travelled internationally to see if there was a cure for Cassie. It was in hospital that Cassie made friends with Jason Carrasco, who nominated Gloria for Mother of the Year this year. Gloria, welcome to Open House. Share some of Cassie's illness with us, will you?
Cassie was just a beautiful person. She got diagnosed in 2010, and she went through a lot in the last 3 years.
And during those many, many hours in hospital by Cassie's bedside, you noticed a number of other young people who were there but who perhaps didn't have their parents close by.
That's right. Look, we supported each other when it comes down to it. You just need support when you're going through all that. Only someone who's going through it can understand what you go through, so, yeah.
Your life is literally upside down. You have no real patterns. You really can't even afford to have a job when you have a gravely ill child, can you?
No, that's right. Out of 3 years, we probably spent a whole year in hospital. And then in between was appointments and MRIs and blood transfusions, and yeah, like we went home for a lot of that time. Of course, I never left Cassie on her own. She was 16 when she was diagnosed, so yeah, I spent the whole time there with her.
Where did you meet Jason Carrasco, the young man who nominated you for this award?
Cassie was, when she was 18, she was transferred to an adult hospital, and that's where we met Jason. He was going through a hard time with his diagnosis, and Cassie was in remission at the time, and she heard he was sick, and she headed straight to the hospital. Of course, she supported him through it, and then he supported Cassie through all her treatments as well.
Gloria, as well as supporting your daughter while she was undergoing cancer treatment, you were there also supporting other young people too, weren't you?
You know, mainly just Jason and a couple of other young girls that were in hospital with Cassie. But I'm still very early days for me. I'm still very emotional. So I'm not doing a lot at the moment.
Because Cassie sadly passed away last year, didn't she?
That's right, just 5 months ago. So it's still really new for me. And yeah, I still have a lot of trouble.
As you approach Mother's Day, Gloria, this must be a particularly tough time for you.
It is a tough time, but every day is really tough because, you know, there's a lot of memories. I was really close with Cassie, and we spent the last 3 years 24 hours together, so it's just missing her. It's really hard.
Cassie left you in the wonderful arms of your husband, Joe, and your other daughter, Andrea.
I've also got a son, but he's stationed in Darwin. He's in the Navy, so, yeah, it's hard because they don't live at home, so... Yeah, it's just me and my husband at the moment, so it's really tough when you're on your own, yeah.
They must be particularly proud of their mum, though, being a Barnardo's Mother of the Year finalist for New South Wales.
Yeah, they are very proud, yes.
It's no mean feat to be nominated for this kind of recognition. I know while you're mourning the loss of your own daughter, you wouldn't want for a moment to think that other parents are experiencing the same pain as you are, and yet right now many are, aren't they?
You know, that's what hurts me the most, is that other people are going through what we went through. And I would love, and that is in my future, to help these people, these parents and these kids. But right now, it's really hard for me. Yeah, it's really hard for me. But I have people that I talk to, and we understand each other because we've gone through the same things.
Gloria, when you give as much love as you have done, it comes flooding back in return, though, doesn't it?
Well, we certainly have been really lucky because, you know, we've had so much support from everybody in our community, our family and friends, through the whole treatments and even now. So we've been very lucky, yeah.
Tell me about Jason. When did you find out he had nominated you for the Barnardo's Mother of the Year?
I only found out when they called me. And I was not expecting it at all. I never heard of anything about it. And I got a call, and I was very, very surprised.
I can only imagine.
If anybody's going to do something like that, it's Jason. He's just such an amazing young man, and he's just dedicating his life to honouring my daughter, which is really special.
Is Jason in good health now?
Jason's been in remission for nearly 2 years.
That is excellent news.
He's really good. Yeah, it's really good news, yes.
So will Jason and your husband be with you when you head to that National Gala luncheon on Friday before Mum's Day?
Yes, they will be there with me. Yes.
A very proud moment for everybody, Gloria.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Congratulations on becoming the finalist for the Barnardo's Mother of the Year.
Thank you very much.
Gloria Nascimento, the New South Wales Barnardo's Mother of the Year nominee. And on the Friday before Mother's Day, Gloria was recognised as Barnardo's Mother of the Year. Congratulations, Gloria.